This is Social Entrepreneur with Sally Corning Zimney of This Move Me.
I do spend a lot of time really breaking down people's idea of what speaking really is. So when I shift the focus for people away from perfection to connection, it can really be a liberating experience for people.
Welcome to Social Entrepreneur. My name is Tony Lloyd. I'm a former Fortune 500 executive, but today I spend my time with changemakers who are making an impact in the world. Each week you'll hear exciting stories of ordinary people just like you who are making a difference. They share their successes, their failures, and what they're learning along the way. Thanks for being with me today. Let's get started. Hi, and welcome back to Social Entrepreneur and today's guest, Sally Corning Zimney of This Move Me. Now, moments become a movement when meaning can be transferred from one person to another. And so whether it's women who are now standing up and speaking out and saying, me too, or it's high school students that are saying enough to gun violence, important ideas are spread from person to person. Now, fortunately, humans have this capability to convey important ideas, and it's called language or speech. However, unfortunately, a lot of us have these preconceived ideas about what a speech is and how to speak in front of others, and a lot of those ideas are not helpful. So that's where Sally Corning Zimney comes in. Sally helps purpose-driven changemakers to speak with confidence, clarity, and authenticity so that they can create talks that move the world. Now, it's a great interview. In fact, it was such a good interview. We ended up with extra material. I've put that up as bonus material. You can find all of that plus some really extensive show notes here at tonylloyd.com. That's TonyLloyd.com. So let's get right to the interview. Here she is, Sally Corning Zimney of This Move Me.
I just happen to be a believer that we can change people's minds in an experience like giving a talk and giving a presentation. I think it's an incredibly powerful platform. And I'm sort of an equal opportunity, wanna improve the world person. And so, you know, I've never chosen a specific issue or a specific cause. I kind of care about them all. And saw again and again and again as a speaker and as a coach how we can move the needle with speaking. And it became my way to help improve the world and make a difference in the world. I just think it's powerful, and that if we can help people be more grounded in their authenticity, in their own voice, and really understand that they have the opportunity to make a real impact. If we can do that, we can make a huge difference in the world and help bring more of those needed messages into the world.
I was driving back to the office to catch this recording. And as I was doing that, I was thinking about what you had said earlier to me before we started all this recording. Is you had said, you know, I haven't really picked one cause. Right. Mm-hmm. But what I love about what you do is it's kind of a talk is the context in which any content can go. And so you're sort of, you know, you're facilitating that context. You're watching out for that. There's a presenter and there's the audience, but then there's this like this spirit that moves, right? Yeah. This thing that goes between you two, that you're passing this big idea back and forth and stuff. Yeah. So that's kind of how I think about your work. Does that make sense?
Totally.
To you?
And hopefully if people are listening, you've had that experience where it's this wonderful co-creation that happens between the speaker and the audience. And literally, and I'm not a scientist, and I sort of know this enough to tell you about it, but don't ask me too many questions. But literally our brains change as we speak and as we listen. As if you were speaking and you're telling a story, I'm imagining it in my head, and it's coexisting with my experiences and my point of view, and it becomes something else. And it's really trippy and wild and awesome. And it is, sometimes you can feel that there's something happening in the room. And I personally get kind of addicted to it. And I think that's why I find so much joy in it, because it's absolutely in the moment, dependent on the people in the room, dependent on how we show up and how we really offer ourselves to the audience.
Yeah.
And then crazy things can happen. You know, it's fun. I think it's fun.
Crazy things can happen. I think that's right. You know, I spoke with Looney Libous, who runs an accelerator incubator up in Seattle area. Really forward thinker. Every time I talk to Looney, it's like he just sort of expands my brain, right?
And that's a great name. That's a great name.
It is a great name. And he said the number one thing that they teach people that go through their incubator is storytelling.
Mm.
And he said, we don't even call it pitching anymore. So if you're going to pitch an idea to somebody, don't even think about it as a pitch. Just say, this is my story. And so we spend most of our time on that number one skill. So, so what kind of people do you work with? Who needs the kind of things that you do?
Honestly, I think everybody needs this skill. I don't really care who you are or what you do or what your goal is or what your business context is, or if you're not in business. I think it's an essential skill. And I think everybody sort of gets that. But the people that tend to find me and the people who have the most success in working with me are people who are really mission and message focused, because it's not just about the skill. It is about really trying to push ourselves to say something new and important and that will impact people. So, you know, leaders, I tend to call them change makers, people who don't necessarily think of themselves as speakers, but feel compelled and drawn towards the need to do it because they know, they recognize it's a platform that has a lot of power, and they're willing to risk to step into that space and hopefully find themselves in it and find a new sort of more connected voice. Oftentimes people come to me and they know they need a talk, but they don't know exactly what they want to say. They have an idea around it. And the process of creating that talk clarifies to a completely new degree what it is they want to say, which is an incredibly empowering experience and sort of catapult people in a way that even writing a book or can... It's a different kind of risk.
It is. It is. You know, somebody said, I write so I clarify what I think.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So I understand what it is that I'm thinking because I go through that process and I'm finding the same thing, you know, when we speak in public, you know, it's that experience of thinking through what's the core of that message. And especially, you know, I know you did a really successful TEDx talk not too long ago. And as you prepare for those kinds of experiences, you know, there's a clock. Right? There's a timer. And so you only have so much content that you can stick in there. And so it's mostly a process for me anyway, of figuring out what I'm not going to say so that I get that core message in there.
Yeah. In fact, I talk about editing as one of the most underutilized, underrecognized skills that we need as leaders and speakers, because the process of deciding what you're not going to say really helps you identify what is the most important thing. What is at the core of this? What am I willing to stand up and put myself on the line for? And that process is really brutal and painful, but so illuminating in terms of who am I? What do I have to say? How do I differentiate myself from other people? Like, what is the new thing I have to say about this old idea? Because they're all old ideas. And so that process of finding those little gems is so important. And it is. It's peeling away. What aren't I going to say?
What do we get wrong about speaking?
I was just at this event last night, Tony, that was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. I think most of the time we don't put the time and energy into the right things. You know, people spend a lot of time obsessing over their slides, for instance, and oftentimes not even creating necessarily great slides that aid you in your message, but it's a really safe space to be. Oh, I'm just going to really focus on my slides and never spend the time rehearsing on their feet, really getting up and saying, how does this live in my body? Because we're not just writers. You know, you can write a great speech, but then what do? You got to stand up and it lives in your body. It lives in your voice. It lives kind of, you know, we want to speak fully integrated physically. And that doing that takes a lot of time and vulnerability and risk and all of the words I'm sure that you talk a lot about as an entrepreneur. Like, we have to live that. I feel like that's the biggest gap I see, and the biggest role I play as a coach is pushing people up on their feet faster. We can't just talk about this and just write this. We have to do it. And actually, I think that's when things become transformative for speakers, because I'm forcing them into an uncomfortable place. We all know that's where the growth happens. That's where the big change happens. So I don't know. I find again and again that speaking is this great metaphor for life. The process of speaking is an incredibly metaphorical growth process. For us, if we're going to say big things, if we're going to have a big impact, we've got to just go to the place we don't want to go. Yeah.
You know, one of the things I know about you is, you know, you've spent some time on stage, right? So you have this sort of, you have these acting chops. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I see too often is a presenter who's doing a performance.
Yeah.
If you will, and I'm doing air quotes with my fingers. People on the podcast can't see it. They're doing a performance. Yeah. The word that you used that I think is so critical here, it's showing up as your authentic self.
Yeah.
Right. So how do people get past that dynamic, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm being asked to do excellent work. Mm-hmm. And I have these skills that I can bring to bear. And so, you know, I know that if I vary my voice, and if I, you know, if I move my hands in a certain way, if I pause and, you know, so there's technique and then there's authenticity. And so how do you help them to sort of sort through that dynamic tension there?
It's really the thing, Tony. And I find I do spend a lot of time really breaking down people's idea of what speaking really is. And we have in our minds that it is a more polished performance. And I think there are some people who can pull that off. Like a really good actor, you believe them, right? Yeah. And so there are some people who it is in a tiny bit of a way, it is acting, right? Because it's not, you're not having a conversation. It's sort of you dialed up two notches is kind of how I like to think of it. And but it should still feel like you. And we as humans, we are messy. We are not perfect. We have filler words. We, you know, say, you know, like I do. I like it to be a little rough around the edges. You know, people want to connect with the speaker. I want to feel like I know who you are. And that is a very different approach than getting it technically correct. And so I want you to have the basics of technical skills, but I really don't think that's enough. And oftentimes we take that too far and we're focused on the wrong things. It's in my mind, if we really want to impact and move our audience, and of course we do, we've got big ideas that we want people to come and join us in, then we have to be seen. We have to show up and for people to feel connected. So when I shift the focus for people away from perfection to connection, it can really be a liberating experience for people. Like it's okay if you have to pause and reframe something or take a sip of water or you mess up. I mean, sometimes the most beautiful things happen in those mess ups.
Your message can come right from your mess, can't it?
Absolutely. In fact, it should. You know, we've all seen those talks that you just feel like, are you for real? This is not, I can't relate to you. I'm so uninspired by this. You're making me feel bad about my life, basically. Yeah. You know, even sometimes people talk about their mess in a way that you're just like, this, no, I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
It should feel, for the speaker, it should feel just risky enough that you're like, ooh, this is big. Oh boy. Right. And same thing for the audience to see that sort of push.
Yeah.
And they recognize it. They see it.
You know, one of the questions that I came into this conversation with, you were in a position that a lot of people find themselves in. So you had a job, right? Mm-hmm. You had this full-time thing that you're doing. How did you build your consulting practice on the side? And then how did you know how and when to make the leap? So how would you address that?
Yeah. So I spent several years really quietly building my stuff on the side. And I'm just going to admit I was lucky because at the time my husband's job was, you know, enough for us that I could work part-time at my job, and I could part-time try and build this other thing on the side. And that's a real privilege. I totally recognize that. And eventually, it's probably took me 7 years of part-time, slowly building things, just organically kept coming to me the more I did it. At one point, I realized I'm making as much in my side part-time freelancing as I am at my part-time job. And that's when I said, okay, I think I can make this leap, and then pitched to my part-time job for them to become one of my clients.
Mm. So did they sign up for that then?
They did. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So that felt like a huge shift. And yet it also just seemed totally natural because I had been working towards it for so long, and I probably could have taken the risk earlier. It just happened to coincide with my kids. All three of my kids were in school full time at that point. So it was like, okay, now let's do this.
Yeah. Do you remember how you got your first clients?
Yes. My first clients came from referrals from my boss.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He has just been a huge cheerleader of mine through all of this. And he started recommending me to other people that he was working with. And as a CEO and kind of an influencer, he was out talking to people. And because he himself was a great speaker, people would say, oh, gosh, that was so great. I wish I could be as great a speaker like you. And he's like, oh, you should work with Sally.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So lucky, right?
Yeah.
How do you get to be surrounded by people like that.
Yeah. How do you get the word out now?
That's a great question. Like you said, I'm kind of all over the place. So, you know, I have a podcast and a website presence and social media and blah, blah, blah. But my coaching clients tend to all be referrals. I will say my business took off in a new way when I started my podcast. And I'm trying to figure out, they're all still local people. So it wasn't like people were hearing me, you know, in New York City and were like, hey, I want to work with her. I think honestly it was, she has a podcast. She's an expert. She's for real. And so it just elevated my visibility enough. I think it drew more people to me. That was a big turning point in the growth of my business.
We have a lot of people who want to start their own thing, especially something on purpose. So, you know, like social entrepreneurs, change makers. What's some advice you would pass along to early stage social entrepreneurs?
To take every opportunity to get up and hone your message and to stumble. Like, don't be afraid of the stumble. You just got to keep getting out there. One of my things I say again and again is the only way to the other side is through. Like, you just got to do it and have some humiliating, embarrassing experiences, because that's how you get better. There's just no way around it.
If people were looking for you, where would they look online or on social media?
My website's thismovedme.com, but on social media, I guess you can Facebook. I've got a Facebook group called the This Moved Me Talk Club, and we like to analyze talks, sort of look at a talk. How is this working? Why is it working? And of course, you know, a Facebook page and blah, blah, blah. I don't, you know, I've got all the regular stuff.
But if they go to thismovedme.com, they could probably find everything from there, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But you know what you mentioned? I'm trying to do more of this Facebook Live stuff, and it's hard. This is not my natural inclination. Video is not my favorite thing, but I've found that it can be a great way to hear from the people I'm trying to work with. Like, what are the questions that you have? What are the, you know, what, when I'm talking about something, I can get immediate feedback from people. So I'm really trying to lean into that more, especially if people are kind of curious about this and want to put themselves out there more. I'm going to be doing more of that. And I'd love for people to hop on and send me their questions. Where are you stuck? Where are you struggling? And I will follow up and answer them, because that's like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah. And you're working on a, what's it called? Movers University. Is that what you're working on?
Yeah. So
tell me about that.
Okay. So Movers University is going to be my online course platform. So I'm building some online courses for people who either don't want to take the time or don't have the resources to hire me one-on-one. There's still a lot that we can do. Writing and developing a talk can be such an isolating experience and overwhelming and confusing. And there's 8 million ways to do it. There's really no one way. And so I wanted to develop some online courses that can walk people through the process a little more intentionally, so they can hold themselves accountable to a timeline, they can be guided and find their way, and they can also have some access to a coach, because this is an art form more than it is a science.
Yeah. So
any help that we can offer each other on that process is huge.
It is. Any idea when that's going to come out?
Oh, man.
The $10,000 question, right?
I know. It is. Yeah. It's, of course, taking me longer. I'm just like, I know I'm trying to internalize Seth Godin every day. Just ship it. Don't let good be the enemy of, wait, what's that phrase?
Oh, whatever. Great be the enemy of good. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah.
And just follow my own advice on the goal is not perfect. So with all that being said, I would really love to have something live by April.
Okay.
So if this is the end of March, hopefully soon.
Yeah. See, I can always tell when you're nervous because you sing your answer.
Oh my gosh. That's so true.
Yeah.
A lot of singing.
Yeah.
Lately.
I love it. All right, listen, a call to action. So people have been hanging out with you and me for a while. What's something you'd love to see them go and do as a result of this conversation?
I would really encourage people to go watch my TEDx talk, which feels a little weird to kind of self-promote in this moment. But I think there are some really beautiful, important, essential mindsets that we've got to wrap our heads around as leaders who want to make an impact. And so that would mean the world to me. And my hope is that would help encourage you to get up and get out there and share your message and share your voice, especially if you're not sure that you belong out there. That's all the more reason to get your butt out there. And if you're curious and want to find out more, and if you're at all intrigued, I'd love for you to go over to my website, thismovedme.com, and you can connect with me there. I just have this brand new, awesome, ultimate kick butt presentation prep checklist. And it's really good. So good. I kind of was like, I don't know if I should just give this to people, but I'm just giving it to people. And it will walk you through step by step the whole process. So you can find that over on my website.
Excellent. Well, Sally, thanks so much for being with us on Social Entrepreneur.
Oh, Tony, thanks for having me. It was really fun.
And thanks to you, the listener, for joining us today. You are the reason that we produce Social Entrepreneur every Monday. You can find the show notes, bonus material, and more at tonyloyd.com. That's TonyLoyd.com. And while you're at it, will you do me a favor? Subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. It really helps others to find these stories of change makers who are making a difference in the world. Well, listen, thanks so much for joining me today. And until next time, please remember to use this one short, amazing life and go make an impact. Thanks. We'll talk to you next time. on Social Entrepreneur.